After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon. Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles. Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry, put a sheet on it with Bounce.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it feels like Friday, ladies and gentlemen, because it is Friday. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Very delighted to have you along with us for 3 hours of conservative conversation. We've got a lot going on today, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. We got a lot going on today. Hope you put some Red Bull on the Fruit Loops. By the way, we're going to have a great guest coming up. This is going to be a hoot. There's a district attorney in Mississippi, DeSoto County, Mississippi, that's right across the state line from Memphis. It's a refugee center for people escaping the violence in war-torn Memphis. And DeSoto County, one of the most beautiful places in the Mid-South, home of towns like Olive Branch and South Haven and Hernando. And anyway, it's one of the fastest growing communities in the entire nation. And really, it's because there are so many people evacuating the war zone that is Memphis, Tennessee. Anyway, the district attorney there, a guy by the name of Matthew Barton, is going to be here with us. And he is now proposing a bounty hunter program to round up the illegals. I kid you not. They are the district attorney. Matthew Barton is his name. And he is proposing $1,000 per illegal. Is this $1,000 per illegal, Ben Dieter? Dieter's thumbs up from Dieter. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen. But the district. Hit them up, move them up, round them up. Illegals. Here, illegal. Here, illegal. Goochie, goochie, coo. How do you do that? I have many questions, so we're going to be talking to the district attorney here. People are coming up with very creative solutions to rounding up these very dangerous criminal illegals out there. And God love Tom Holman, because he is out there and he is doing an incredible work for the nation by rounding up these dangerous murderers, rapists, thugs of all varieties, and sending them back to where they came from. So anyway, we'll be talking to him a little bit later on. Also, Senator Katie Britt was on my Newsmax TV show. I wanted to play that interview for a great interview. And also, Congressman Eric Burleson from Missouri is going to drop by in just a little while. New information coming out surrounding the terrible, terrible plane crash, the midair collision between the American Airlines regional jet from Wichita and this Black Hawk helicopter. Now, before we get into this, I just want to say something about what's happening on social media right now, X. All right? And it bothers me because I hate fake news. If we make a mistake in a story, and let me say something, nobody's perfect. All right? Not even, especially the journalist. You're going to make mistakes. But you have to fix those mistakes, and you've got to make sure people are aware that you got something wrong in a story. When you go to ToddStarnes.com and there's been an error in one of our stories, we don't put that at the very bottom of the story. We put that at the very top, and then we fix the mistake in the story so it's not perpetrated. It's right. So we don't want people to spread fake news. That's an important thing. Well, now you have all of these so-called citizen journalists on X, and they are, and most, and hear me on this, an overwhelming number of them are conservatives. And you folks are out there spreading all sorts of fake news. And the latest is that a there's the latest report was, and it turned out not to be true, that it was a transgender pilot who was flying the Black Hawk chopper, and they actually posted the person's name and photographs. Well, it turned out to be the wrong person. It turned out that that individual is alive and well. And so now that person's having to go out there, and this individual who happens to be transgender is getting crucified by all these people who are now saying it's a deep fake. No, somebody screwed up. You people are out there sharing information you know is not true. And it's got to stop. That's all I'm going to say. It's got to stop. We got to do better. So look, now we have some intel on what they're trying to put the puzzle pieces together. They're having a press conference at this hour in Washington, D.C. And we'll let you know if there's anything new out of there. But it's becoming increasingly clear that one of the big problems was inside the tower. And there may have been two problems. So before I get to the tower, there is brand new video that surfaced. I don't know if you have seen this video. And if you're a pilot, I'd be very interested to hear from you on this. But there's a much clearer video of the Black Hawk and the moments leading up to the mid-air collision. And I will say this, and it's very, you can see everything. And I'm just wondering, how in the world did this pilot of the chopper not see what was going on? How did that happen? I mean, I get it with the pilot because it looked as though that chopper was out of the line of sight of the pilot. So they were coming up underneath the plane. Folks, the way it looks, and again, I'm just explaining the way it looks as though this chopper slammed directly into the plane. There was no attempt, even at the last second, to try to change directions or change course. I didn't see any of that. Now, I'm not willing to say it was intentional yet, but I got a lot of questions. And then there's whatever was happening in the tower, where now we know that there was only one person in the tower instead of two. This is NBC News's Tom Costello.
A high-level investigative source tells me that they have now confirmed that an FAA air traffic control supervisor in the tower here at Reagan had allowed a supervisor to leave early, and as a result, there was only one supervisor Wednesday night handling both helicopter traffic and plane traffic. Normally, you would have one dedicated to helicopters, one dedicated to planes. Now, while this is not optimal, it is allowed, but nonetheless, that will clearly be a part of this investigation. Air traffic control staffing nationwide, as you know, has been an ongoing issue with a shortage of 10,000 controllers nationwide. It's been a problem years in the making, and so now the question is whether staffing in any way played a role in this accident. In addition, I have also learned that, in fact, investigators are going to be looking closely at the black box, the flight data recorder, when they get it from that Black Hawk helicopter, because that will tell them and give them a precise reading on the altitude for that helicopter. There is evidence that the chopper was higher than it should have been. In fact, at the same altitude as that plane. Well, the question's going to be, why was it at that altitude? Did they have an altimeter misfiring or misreading, if you will, inside the chopper? That'll be part of this investigation. I can also tell you the NTSB spent time with the families of the victims yesterday here in the Washington area, briefing them on the status of the investigation. And the NTSB has brought in its own Black Hawk helicopter pilot from Alaska, who is an expert on the Black Hawk. He is employed by the NTSB, but they have brought him into Washington to be their own eyes and ears and their expert on the Black Hawk, in addition to the Defense Department's own investigative team that will be looking into what happened on board that helicopter. And then separately, the NTSB, of course, looking into what happened with the plane. All of this now.
All right. Enough of that. 2 days. So look, the news nugget and all of that, for years, this problem has been ignored. This goes all the way back to the Obama administration. 10,000 air traffic controllers. That's how many they're down. You know what that tells me? That tells me there are not enough air traffic controllers, and that a lot of those air traffic controllers are having to work super long shifts. They're not going to be on their game. and nobody is. It doesn't matter what it doesn't matter if you're the best air traffic controller in the country. If you're having to work multiple shifts at all times of day, one day you're working day side, the next you're overnights, there's no way you're going to be on your game all the time. And by the way, we're getting word that just the day before the mid-air collision, there was another near-miss mid-air collision at Reagan National. So, but for the grace of God, we could be having dozens of these things, and we've got to do something about this. And I think Donald Trump is. We've got to stop all these DEI hires. This has been an ongoing issue. Here's Congresswoman Mary Miller, the Republican, raising this issue just last year. Cut three.
Secretary Buttigieg and President Biden's DEI initiatives, which hire and promote people based on their physical characteristics over their merits and qualifications, violate Title VII and the Constitution. In critical public safety roles such as air traffic control, it is essential to have the best possible candidate based strictly on professional qualifications and merit. Efforts by the Biden administration to factor race, gender, and sexual orientation into hiring and promotion decisions puts the traveling public at risk and deepens the staffing shortages we've seen throughout the FAA. Under this administration, we saw the first national ground stoppage since September 11th. My constituents regularly face delays caused by shortages in air traffic control staffing, delays that I'm sure many of my colleagues have also experienced. We must roll back the Biden administration's woke DEI policies and put the needs of our public aviation system before the far left's political agenda. I urge the adoption of my amendment, and I reserve the balance of my time.
And it just seems to me, and thank you, Congresswoman, it just seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if there's any way to guarantee anybody's safety out there. I mean, you literally put your life in somebody else's hands, and the person that's flying your plane, the person that is directing air traffic control, they may or may not be qualified. They may or may. And honestly, when you look at the deficiency of air traffic controllers, again, from NBC News, 10,000 down from the full complement, that is massive. You wonder, okay, how many people are actually qualified to be in those air traffic control towers? Got to take a break here. We're going to go to your calls. It is also Open Line Friday, and that means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We got a story. PETA is on the warpath, and they're going after America's favorite yellow-bellied hoary marmot. And I don't mean the Old Testament hoary. I'm talking about the groundhog. It's unbelievable. We're going to tell you that story. Also, Captain America going woke, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, I got to tell you, eggs, they're still a little pricey out there, and it's going to take some time for those to come down. And we explained that earlier this week on the show. The reality is it's a mess. The economy's a mess, and it's going to take some time for Trump to work all this out. And then, again, the trickle down, the egg prices will come down. What I'm saying is that you need to start taking actions now to protect your savings, to protect your retirement fund. And if it's all in a 401k, you got big problems. Your retirement plan is in jeopardy. That's just the cold, hard facts. So the good news is you can do something about it. And that's why my friends at Priority Gold are big, big fans of the Todd Stearns program. They want to give you a free wealth protection guide, a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings, diversify your savings and retirement with gold. There is no cost, no obligation. Just text the word Todd to 24999. That's Todd to 24999, or go to PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide today. All right, I've got to get to this story now because we have so much content to share with you. But PETA is on the warpath. They are declaring war on Groundhog Day. That's the organization known as the People for Eating Tasty Animals. No, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. My apologies. My bad. Anyway, PETA is now calling on the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club to retire America's favorite yellow-bellied hoary marmot. And by the way, and I want to stop there because Dylan gets really concerned every time I say that. It is not that the groundhog is sexually promiscuous. It's not a sidewalk Sally. No, Punxsutawney Phil is actually, that's what you actually call them. That's the official name of the animal, the creature known affectionately as the groundhog. So just want to set the record straight there. Anyway, PETA wants Punxsutawney Phil to be replaced by a vegan weather reveal cake. So have you seen these things? It's really, I guess this is like a millennial Gen Z thing where they do these elaborate, these gender reveals. When back in the day, when we had gender reveal parties back in 1967 when I was born, it was right there in the delivery room. Mrs. Starnes, you got a healthy baby boy. Congratulations. That's what the gender reveal parties looked like back when I was growing up. But now they have like these cannons shooting out all of these colors. And by the way, it used to be pink and blue. Now we got Lord knows what coming out of wombs across America. I'm just telling you. So anyway, they're wanting a version of that for the weather. And I don't know why it's vegan. What is it? They don't want a cake made out of milk or something? What? These people are disgusting. So look, here's the deal. For the past 138 years, the people of Gobbler's Knob, they don't have a lot there. I mean, Ben Dieter's from Pennsylvania. He's probably been to Gobbler's Knob. There's not a lot there. All right? All they got is a freaking groundhog that comes out and determines whether or not we're going to have six more weeks of winter. That's their contribution to America. All right? That's it. I mean, Memphis, we got barbecue. We got blues. We had Elvis. Gobbler's Knob, they got a groundhog. Okay? So cut them some slack, PETA. I mean, come on. Well, PETA is saying all the noise and the crowds and the flashing lights, it's all dangerous, and it's cruel and unusual punishment for the groundhog. Really, is that it? Because it looks to me like this is a pretty well taken care of little critter. And Punxsutawney looks pretty darn happy. I mean, he's got some girth to him, so he's eating good. No, I don't know, Dylan, offhand. I don't know what they feed. I don't know what they feed him. I don't. So anyway, it's the Groundhog Club haven't responded one way or the other here. I don't think they're going to do that. No, I think having Dylan, I don't think the cake should be in the shape of a groundhog. That would be kind of creepy. And quite frankly, that would be more cruel and unusual to Punxsutawney Phil if he's sitting there and poor Punxsutawney, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that's a cake. He was like, oh, my God, what are they doing to Carl? Jeez. That would be cruel and unusual to me. PETA actually suggested rainbow colors for the groundhog is not gay. Would you just stop it? Everybody, this whole thing now, this movement that everything is gay, the groundhog is not gay. To the best of our knowledge, he's not gay. A little effeminate, maybe, but that doesn't mean you're gay. Come on, enough with the stereotypes. Jeez, Alou. So all that to say, I don't think they're going to retire Phil. I really don't, because this is a big deal. They have thousands of people that come to Gobbler's Knob, and they're wearing the top hats and the tuxedos and the coats with tails. And let's get real. I just don't think the American people want Groundhog Day to be replaced with Vegan Cake Day. I don't think anybody wants that. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. When we come back, going to the phones, it's open line Friday. You can talk about what happened in D.C., Groundhog Day. We got some crazy stories coming your way as well. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Show. By the way, head over to toddstarnes.com right now. We have all sorts of great stories and content for you. Also, download our free newsletter and our free podcast. You're going to find all of that information for you right there at toddstarnes.com. We'll be right back, America. The new heart-pounding military thriller Valiant One has everything you need in a movie. With tensions high between North and South Korea, a U.S. military chopper crashes deep in North Korean territory. With the platoon leader dead and no rescue coming, young Sergeant Edward Brockman must find a way to get the survivors back to safety. He must rise to the challenge to lead his team on a daring escape through treacherous and hostile territory, with enemy soldiers hot in pursuit. Only courage can bring them home. Valiant One has all the grit and explosive action you'd expect, along with the story of survival and bravery under fire. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. All you need is the popcorn. Don't miss this new action thriller from Briarcliff Entertainment and Monarch Media. Valiant One, featuring Chase Stokes and Alana Condor, only in theaters January 31st. The new heart-pounding military thriller, Valiant One, only in theaters January 31st. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us on Open Line Friday. And ladies and gentlemen, we do have some breaking news coming to you from Washington.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
Living daylights out of me, Dylan. Good golly. We have breaking news just handed to me in my fingers. Federal employees have been told to remove pronouns from email signatures by the end of the day. Employees at multiple federal agencies were ordered to remove pronouns by this afternoon. That's according to internal memos obtained by ABC News, citing two executive orders signed by President Donald Trump on his first day of office, seeking to curb diversity and equity programs in the federal government. I want to read this to you. Quote, this is from Jason Bonander, the CDC's chief information officer. Pronouns and any other information not permitted in the policy must be removed by 5 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. Among the pronouns, he, him, his, she, her, hers, they, them, their. What are you laughing at, Dieter?
Continue.
They, them, theirs. Zee her hers. Zim zim zers.
Wait, can we get some clarity? What is a zee her hers?
I don't know. They're probably working an air traffic control tower right now.
I'm afraid. It sounds like something like a chemistry term.
Hold on. We got ver vis.
Okay.
T temter, E M ers, hoo hoo, and fayfair.
Hoo-hoo?
Oh, that means, hold on. So E-M airs means it's a gender-neutral pronoun.
Okay.
Hoo-hoo refers to or emphasizes a person's humanity over their gender.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Fay-fair indicates a person that is fluid between multiple genders. That, to
but
me...
But not masculine. Oh, okay.
No, not masculine. No, you're not manly. However, if you're fluid, they have diapers for that. I think Depends has a whole line of adult products to help you with that.
Wait,
problem.
So they have 5 p.m. Eastern for our time to get all of the pronouns off LinkedIn, yeah. Twitter, the resumes, and they have to go back to work, which is insane. These people are we need a wellness check on all of them.
Yes. So again, I want to read this out. If you're a Z her hers, zim zim zers, ver vis, t tem ter, e m ers, hoo hoo fafer, you're gone.
This is absolutely insane. Do you know who just removed their pronouns? This is other breaking news.
Hold on, we have more breaking news.
Wow.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stearns Show.
I think I just peed myself.
So the Todd Stearns Show, just learning this, I've just been handed this piece of paper, except it's on my phone, so. Pete Buttigieg has just removed his pronouns from his bio. So he was going with the
Wait, his bio or his bile? I'm sorry.
So here's what's going on. So he had his bio, and it was described as husband. He's a father, a veteran, writer, South Bend's former mayor, Pete, he, him. He needed people to know that.
So he described everything except his position.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, position being former transportation secretary, of course. Get your mind out of the gutter, Dylan. What do you think I was talking about?
So he has taken down his identifiers.
Oh, sweet Lord.
All right. So now he is just a mayor, a former mayor.
Is he back to being straight?
Who knows?
Okay.
There was a report that he was doing that just to be picked by the Biden administration.
So the thing is here, and this is what gets me about all these folks like Pete Buttigieg. I don't care. I don't care what you do in the privacy of your home. Why do I care? But what they do is they shove this in your face, right? I mean, the past 4 years, it's been a cavalcade of LGBT stuff, just propaganda being shoved in our throats. And then when you bring it up, like if I were to say, so Pete, why did you remove your pronouns? How dare you? Who do you think you are talking about my sexuality like that? That's a personal, private thing. Who do you think you are? You heterophobic bigot, you. Okay, sorry. I thought we were supposed to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
well, think about the conditioning, this social conditioning that Americans endured really after 2020. This was like everything after the pandemic, where I even saw on my social media feeds, not only did you have to post the black square to tell everybody that you weren't racist. Remember that? You had to post the black square.
Yeah,
you also had
that.
To change all of your bios and your bios. And I went to a conservative school. I went to Cedarville University, and I had professors also changing their bios. You had faculty, you had the student body that needed to tell everybody that they were in fact a he, him, or a she, her, as though we were asking. No one had any doubts that you, professor, fill in the blank, were a dude or a chick. But everybody had to do it.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Joe in Ellijay, Georgia. Hi, Joe. Welcome to Open Line Friday. What's on your mind?
Todd, you're great. Listen, I've been a stock market investor for a long, long time, and I believe now under Trump, it's the best. I think we're in investment heaven. He'll cut taxes, cut spending. So for any stock market investors, or whether you're investing in real estate or stocks, I think we're in investor heaven with Trump in the White House, and so I think we're going to have the best economy and stock market the next 4 years in the history of the world. So I'm just fired up, energized, and everybody down here in Ellijay I'm talking to, I've never seen such optimism, Todd, in my life about the country, the future, your children and grandchildren. So it's just happy days to hear again, and of course your program reflects that, and I just want to say I'm fired up and energized, and thank God for you and what all the great things you do, my friend.
Well, Joe, always good hearing from you, and I am very excited about the economy, and it is going to take a little bit of time to get things readjusted. But when that happens, Joe, I promise you, next year after next, it's going to be absolutely phenomenal for folks in this country and their bank accounts.
Amen, Todd. You're exactly right.
All right, Joe, good hearing from you. Thank you. Let's go to Dan in New Hampshire. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not too happy about the dragging of the feet on President Trump's pick. We need to get these guys confirmed so he can have an effective presidency. And he can get to, I mean, he's already to work, but so he can get more help and really get a lot of more work done. I mean, when you start looking at Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, which they're not, nobody's talking about them in the media. No, a lot of talk show hosts, I'm not talking about your show, I'm talking about around the nation, talk show hosts aren't talking about those two picks because they're too America first. They're not tied to the dirty military and media industrial complex money, lobbyist money, special interest money, and globalist money. So they're going to be more like President Trump, and that's what makes them scared. That's what people got to realize. And when we're looking at these Marxists, you know, everybody's talking about the Marxist, Communist, Democrat senators, how they're rabid and coming after the picks, right? Well, when you look at these picks, okay, I don't think people really understand how crazy these Democrats are, okay? Socialist, Communist Bernie Sanders has a voting record of a 15. Okay, one U.S. senator has a 20. The rest of them are 0 to 15.
Well, I'll say this, Dan, and let me jump in here, and I appreciate your call. Let me say this, Dan. When you look at a Bernie Sanders, the problem with Bernie is he's getting called out, right? All of these senators are getting called out right now. The fact that you can have somebody like an RFK Jr., and Dan is absolutely right here, the fact that you can have an RFK Jr., and RFK Jr. is up there telling Bernie Sanders, hey, look, pal, you got more money from Big Pharma than any other senator in Congress aside from Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas herself. That's what I'm telling you. And that's why Bernie Sanders, no, onesie. No, forget, no. They're calling him out on it. That's what I love about that. All right, open line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Ben Dieter, we've been getting a lot of mail, a lot of fingin' mail here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're going to do better. We launched something new this week where we're going to start reading some of the fan mail that we receive here. And I don't want to be braggadocious at all, Ben Dieter, mm-hmm. but I am loved. I am
by
loved in
masses.
This country. By the masses. Mm-hmm. I am loved. So without further ado, let's go to the Todd Stearns Radio Show mailbag, shall we? Dear Todd, why do you have such a problem with NPR and PBS? This coming from a Professor Karen is her name, Professor Karen. Why do you have such a problem with NPR and PBS? They have such an incredibly diverse lineup of programs. And their annual fundraisers are so informative and entertaining. And when you donate money, they give you a free tote bag or umbrella. So lighten up on NPR. Professor Karen.
That's well, look, pretty nice of her.
Here's the problem, Professor. I got no problem with the tote bag, but they need to be sending one to every taxpayer in the country because we're paying for all of that crap.
Is NPR that diverse? I mean, their topics are, I guess, all about diversity, but I've listened to their program.
They're a bunch of libos.
Yeah.
So, Karen, thank you for that. Dear Todd, why do you hate everyone? Why is your show so negative? You are always complaining about something. You are just a miserable human being, signed Sally from Atlanta. Really? Is that true?
You like the groundhogs. That was positive.
I love that. Right, but I could see where if you're from PETA, you would probably find that to be a negative story.
Do you feel miserable? You don't look miserable.
I feel pretty darn good today, actually. Got a good night's rest.
Thanks, Sally.
Had some cereal this morning. So, anyway, sorry, Sally. We'll do better. All right, this is from Gary, Berkeley, California. Oh, geez. Dear Todd, why do you hate blind, non-binary midgets? Oh, this is from yesterday. Oh, geez. I find your comments in the wake of the mid-air collision to be grossly offensive. How dare you use this tragedy to score cheap political points? You, sir, need to deal with your own issues. You are fat and wear glasses. Wow.
That's so mean.
But it's true, actually. You have no business being in an air traffic control tower either. Exactly my point, Gary from Berkeley.
But you're not a dwarf, so you have that going
on. Oh, here
you.
We go. He's not finished yet. And the term is little people. Little people in all camps here. Little people, you disgusting, fat, homophobic pig. I'm Gary from Berkeley. Jeez.
Yeah, don't get drinks in Berkeley, Todd.
All right, we're going to have to, you know what, Ben, we're going to have to maybe
did you just get started?
I think we're just getting started.
Oh, no.
Jeez. Oh, All right, the music makes it soothing, though.
Who needs haters with fans like these?
Jeez, Lou. All right, you say, Todd, how can I send you an item? Well, just post something, send us a direct message on the Facebook page, and we will. We'll read your fan mail as well.
It's better than anthrax, so keep them in the comment section.
Thank you, Ben Dieter. let's go to the phones here. Tom in Atlanta, Georgia. Tom, what's going on?
I think that guy was trying to be funny because I was laughing. I think he was a comedian, but he's tongue-in-cheek.
Wait, Tom, whatever. You're laughing because he called me fat and I wear glasses, Tom? Is that what you're saying, Tom?
No, I think he was trying to be funny and sarcastic.
Oh. Well, he's from Berkeley. That's anyway. Why I was not too sure. That could go either way.
Maybe But maybe he really wasn't from Berkeley, but he stuck that in there as part of the joke. But anyway,
all right,
that's not why I called.
Go
Warren
ahead,
G. Hardy. Warren G. Hardy had a campaign motto, whatever, and during his administration was called A Return to Normalcy. And I really think, and I'm surprised it hasn't already been taken hold for Trump's administration, a return to sanity. And even as the left, the insane on the left, are trying to continue to be in control of the asylum while all of this goodness is happening under the Trump administration, they are hollering and screaming bloody murder to try to stay in control. But the truth is, their philosophies, their practices, and their agenda have resulted in the deaths of millions over the years.
I like this idea, this return to sanity. And doesn't that sort of feel, it sort of feels like the country is just doing a rapid course correction here in the end of week two of the Trump administration?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Tom, I like that, and I think you're spot on there. Tom, thank you for that. Have a great Friday. Thank you for calling in. We got to take a quick break here, folks. Open line Friday, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For a number of years, customers have been asking if MyPillow sells cross necklaces like the one Mike Lindell proudly wears every day. Well, they are excited to announce that Mike has partnered with a jeweler right here in America to create a beautiful sterling silver MyCross. You can save 30% today using promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code STARNS. You can choose from the women's or men's style. The MyCross for women has a more delicate look, reversible with mother-of-pearl style translucent white enamel on one side and black enamel on the other. The MyCross for men has a slightly larger cross with black enamel and a slightly longer, thicker chain. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS.
All right, let's try to get a few more calls in here on this Open Line Friday. Nashville, Terry, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Terry. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Todd. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Terry.
Well, the reason for my call is I was going to speak about the air traffic control shortage. I'm a former air traffic controller from United States Navy. The way the system set up, and they changed it right when I got out. I was in from 89 to 94. I was 30 going on 31 when I got out of the service. You had to be hired by the FAA, DOD, or any of the other three-letter identifier services. You had to be hired by your 31st birthday. Now, they did change the rule right when I got out that you had to be hired by your 31st birthday or 1 year from your last date of active air traffic control. So if I got out at 30, I had till 31 to get on, or 1 year, which was the same for me. Or if I got out at 35, you would have till 36 because you already passed the 31 rule. So basically, they tell a 31-year-old that you were too old. There was a hiring freeze when I got out. I couldn't continue on in air traffic control because I was too old at 31.
So wow.
So it's the rule is designed, their philosophy is that they don't want you to have, because of the stress of the job, they don't want you to have more than 25 years of service. So if you're in by 31, you're out by 56. They want mandatory retirement by 56. Well, every unique case is different. You know, it's like that broad brush of a paint stroke, you know, you just, everybody's the same. But when you tell a 30, you know, they have tons of talent of people who are getting out of the service that are air traffic controllers, and a lot of them, like such as myself, I had a control tower operator certificate from the FAA. It's an FAA-certified control tower operator certificate, but I could not utilize that, and so I had to find a new career at 31 because I was too old to continue with the FAA.
Just insane. Terry, appreciate that intel and that observation. I had no idea that was the case. We've got to run. We are heading up to the top of the hour break, but thank you for calling in. And I would like to hear from other air traffic controllers to get your take on why they are down 10,000 controllers and what are the conditions like in those towers. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got the Captain America story coming up. Also, they're bringing back Little House on the Prairie, and it's going to be woke. We'll tell you all about that. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring Gaines scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." You could call them scent maracas, but most noses call them Gaines scent beads. Try Gaines scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And happy Friday to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. It is also Open Line Friday. This is the one day of the week that you get to call in. You can ask me any question you want to ask. Just write down our telephone number and give us a call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So we do have a couple of breaking news stories to share with you. The first being an announcement, an order coming out from the government today calling on all federal agencies to remove pronouns from email signatures. It is part of a sweeping order going out today that is going to end all of this radical sex and gender nonsense from the federal government. Also, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is coming under fire for some comments he made calling for violence against the Trump administration. Guys, let's play that audio. All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. But again, Hakeem Jeffries saying that he was calling for violence, inciting his followers to fight President Trump's agenda in the streets. The White House now calling for the minority leader to apologize. I understand we have that audio now. All right, let's play it.
We are going to fight it legislatively. We are going to fight it in the courts, and we're going to fight it in the streets.
All right, there you go. The White House now calling officially for Hakeem Jeffries to apologize for that rhetoric. I want to bring into the conversation our good friend from Missouri, Congressman Eric Burleson. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Always good to be on your show.
And, Congressman, I want to get your reaction to the White House calling on Mr. Jeffries to apologize for that comment about fighting the president's agenda in the streets. What do you think Hakeem Jeffries meant by that?
Yeah, I mean, Hakeem is a smart individual. He knows better than to use that kind of rhetoric. I mean, look, we've had Donald Trump took a bullet to the head from and preceded that was a lot of inflamed rhetoric like what Hakeem has just now participated in. So we all asked for everyone to calm down and cool the temperature. And, you know, eliminate the violence. We should never be calling for violence.
When you look at the president's agenda, and I have to tell you, Congressman, things are happening very quickly. We knew that was going to happen. But one of the big issues coming out today, we understand all federal agencies are being told they've got to start removing pronouns from emails and other official documents. What say you about this crackdown?
Oh my goodness, it's a return to sanity, right? Like this, that was that whole, experiment that we went through where people didn't know their gender and then people started changing their pronouns and demanding that you recognize their pronoun just was an absolute exercise in insanity. We were letting the inmates run the prison, if you will. So I'm really glad that we're returning to normalcy, and that and we're doing it in a bold and strong way. We're, the American people sent a message. They're sick of this stuff, and I'm glad that we're going back to sanity.
Congressman, clearly investigation is still underway. They're still recovering bodies from the Potomac River. And yet there are grave concerns that this could have been prevented. We heard that from the Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy. We heard it from Pete Hegseth over at the Pentagon. Is this a situation where the previous administration's policies led to this disaster?
You know, Todd, it very well could have been. Like, when you look back at the previous administration, just in the last, you know, year, we had the FEMA scandal where they failed the American people and the people that they were serving because they were so focused on their political woke culture. And their number one mission for FEMA was diversity, equity, inclusion. Then we had Butler, Pennsylvania as well this last year, where we had the Secret Service fail and let somebody take a shot at the president. And when you looked at their priorities, it wasn't about keeping people safe. It was about making sure that they had a DEI workforce. And then we know this was the same case with the FAA. In fact, The Blaze did a documentary back in November, only 2 months ago, talking about how dysfunctional the FAA is and how shorthanded that they are because of their woke culture, and their mission wasn't to keep people safe or to hire the most talented and educated people for the job. Their mission was to be woke and DEI. And so Trump has inherited a complete disaster. He's inherited a very broken system, a bureaucracy that is not meant to serve the people. It's bloated and wasteful, and it's a bureaucracy that is focused on other things than what the American people expect them to do, which is why you cannot slash and burn enough right now with the way the federal government is today.
Congressman Eric Burleson on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this hour. Congressman, we hear the concerns from your fellow lawmakers going back many years ago that the FAA was sorely understaffed, 10,000 air traffic controllers that they needed to hire that never got hired. And you're right, this emphasis on, I know Fox News was reporting this, that they were going after individuals with severe disabilities, trying to employ those kinds of people. And again, it's nothing against the dwarfism that was mentioned, nothing against people with severe disabilities. The question is, are you able to do the job within the FAA? And that doesn't seem to be a big priority, or wasn't a big priority in the previous administrations.
Yeah, I think we've lost our sight on the mission. The mission should be hire the most competent and talented individuals and don't discriminate against them if they happen to be disabled, right? That's the way things were,
right?
And the way things have
exactly
worked for the last few decades. And so can we return to the sanity, return to the normalcy, just make intelligent decisions and hire people based on their merit.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate you coming on the program today, and thank you again for the great work you guys are doing up on Capitol Hill.
Thank you, Todd. Anytime, sir.
All right. Congressman Eric Burleson, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And again, that's what it comes down to. You don't discriminate against people. At the same time, you have to hire people that are capable of doing the job. And if you are blind, you probably should not be. You should not be working inside an air traffic control tower. Dieter, I understand we've got the press conference underway in Washington. Guys, let's try to dip in and listen to a little bit of that.
...of this great country. Thanks for the question, John. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, great. Peter.
Thanks, Caroline. If President Trump is telling us that air traffic control towers are staffed with unqualified controllers, these DEI hires who never should have been brought on, then it's not safe to fly commercially, is it?
The president was asked and answered this yesterday, and he believes that it is still indeed safe, and Americans should feel safe traveling our skies. With that said, two things can be true at the same time. And we certainly have seen the deterioration of federal hiring standards at the Federal Aviation Administration. And the president wants to increase those standards. He wants pilots in this country who have the great responsibility of flying American citizens by the tens of millions every single day to be chosen for that position based on their merit and their skills. And so the administration will can prioritize this.
Was the air traffic controller in the DCA tower on Wednesday night hired or not fired at some point because of his or her race?
That investigation is ongoing. And so when we have updates on the exact individuals who were involved in the collision, including the air traffic controller, also the pilots of the helicopter and others, we will confirm those. I don't want to confirm names from this podium today. We're not in a position to do that. But I will say the president has still rightfully pointed out that there has been problems with the aviation industry over the past several years. And this started under Barack Obama in 2014.
And when the president says on Truth Social, the Black Hawk helicopter was flying too high by a lot, it was far above the 200-foot limit, that's not really too complicated to understand, is it? Is he suggesting a helicopter malfunction or a crew error or a crew doing this intentionally?
No, the president is simply stating what he said in that Truth Social post, which is that the helicopter was flying higher than it should have been, which is one of the reasons that led to this collision. And the other reasons for that are still being investigated, and I will let that investigation play out. Kelly.
Some of our colleagues have obtained a memo from the Defense Intelligence Agency that talks about not holding any activities or programming related to Black History Month to be in line with the president's views on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Does the president plan to have a proclamation about Black History Month in his first term? Each of the 4 years of his term, he did so and called on those in government to have programming activities and celebrations. Is he going to do that this year?
Yeah, the president looks forward to signing a proclamation celebrating Black History Month. I actually spoke with our great staff secretary. It's in the works of being approved, and it's going to be ready for the president's signature to signify the beginning of that tomorrow.
If an agency is calling off those kinds of activities in an attempt to be in alignment with the president's views on DEI and other things, should they adjust that now and have those programs and make those celebrations however they see fit in the office?
The president is leading here at the White House, and I'll leave it to the proclamation that he will sign very soon. Mary, great to see you.
For having us. So I wanted to follow up on the gender executive orders you mentioned. First of all, we know that President Trump has taken a bunch of steps to protect children from irreversible transgender procedures. Is he interested in backing congressional legislation on this point? And does the Trump administration have interest in investigating doctors who perform these irreversible procedures on kids, such as a double mastectomy on a minor girl?
Well, the president has already taken a very strong stance on this issue this week with the signing of his executive order. A few executive orders in this space. First, he made it the official policy of the federal government that there are only two sexes, male and female, and we have directed all federal agencies to comply with that policy. As for congressional legislation to support the president's agenda in this space, and certainly ending the mutilation of young children, the chemical castration of young children, which is a barbaric practice that the vast majority of Americans do not support for young minor children, certainly the president would support Congress's efforts, as he has already made that very clear this week. Jennifer.
On Rick Grenell's trip to Venezuela to meet with Nicolas Maduro, is there anything you can share on timing on that? What is it?
All right, folks, we're going to dip out of the White House press conference. We are going to have to take a quick break. It is Open Line Friday. We're going to be taking your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, folks, I will tell you that tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we have a terrific show lined up for you on Newsmax, The Todd Stern Show, 5 o'clock Eastern. Tens of millions of Americans are turning off Fox and CNN, and they're tuning into Newsmax for the breaking news and information they really need to know. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. You can find it for yourself on all major cable systems, your TV or your smartphone. Just download the Newsmax app for free. You can start watching. You're going to get great shows like Rob, Carl, Greta, and yours truly. Find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific and he's watching. So make the switch to Newsmax. You can check us out on cable or satellite TV, or you can download the Newsmax app today. Watch us anytime. Remember, folks, Newsmax is real news for real people.
If you're tired of the side effects of your current prescription medications, ask your doctor about Gozenta. Gozenta takes your mind off all your other side effects by giving you more. Just insert Gozenta with the handy applicator provided, and you'll forget all about your other medications. Side effects of Gozenta will include itching, twitching, twerking, webbed feet, left-handed dysphoria, sleepwalking, hallucinatory dry eye disorder, distemper, night sweats, daydreams, and effervescent bowel movements. Forget all about the side effects of other medications and feel different with Gozenta. Gozenta, from Fauci Pharmaceuticals, the same people who brought you Ooze Out of Me. Proudly made in Wuhan, China by Funky Laboratories Limited.
This product is not endorsed by Robert Kennedy Jr.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is Open Line Friday, and let's go right to the phones. Kentucky, Pastor John is on the line. Hey, Pastor, what do you want to talk about today?
Hey, Todd, I'll try to make this as quick as I can. I don't know if you read about it. I'm sure Ben has. A couple of years ago, all the Southern National Guard units, state National Guard units, were ordered to return all their battle streamers with any reference to the Civil War. These battle streamers represented the heritage of all the Southern units. It was basically the Union and Confederate units became one unit. So they had references to their long history with the state National Guard units, and the Southern Guard units were forced to, well, they were ordered to return their battle streamers. Here's the thing. Those battle streamers did not belong to the federal government. They belonged to the various state National Guard units. As a matter of fact, here in Kentucky, they were ordered to send back 52 of those battle streamers. And I'm hoping somebody, well, we're working on it over here in Kentucky, that we're going to petition the Department of Defense, which is now run by Pete Hegseth, to give us those battle streamers back. They never belonged to the federal government. They belonged to the people of Kentucky. They belonged to the history of these different state National Guard units. And I was particularly sick and tired of the woke military trying to revision history. And I know Tennessee was part of, you know, was part of the Civil War, obviously, because they were one of the states that seceded. And I'm sure Tennessee was forced to return their battle streamers as well. So I'm hoping some members of the different guard units are hearing this, because now that we got an ally, try to get your battle streamers back, because they actually belong to you. They did not belong to the Army. They belong to the National Guard units in your various states.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did, Pastor, because, again, this was part of a massive effort, you know, not only the renaming of the military bases. Remember, they removed the names of any base named after a Confederate or general or soldier. That's being reversed. So I wouldn't be surprised if Secretary Hegseth actually follows through and returns those streamers, those Confederate streamers, back to the National Guard troops. That was a major story back in the day, and we understand from military.com at least 48, mostly Southern National Guard units, were actually directed to strip those streamers. We understand they were sent to the Army Center of Military History. We'll find out, though, and if we have an opportunity to ask Secretary Hegseth, we'll get to the bottom of it. Because, again, it's about erasing history, and we've got to stop that. Good or bad, ladies and gentlemen, it is our history. And if you erase history, well, you're prone to repeat history. All right, Pastor John, thank you for that. Again, open line Friday, 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Coming out of this press conference, first of all, the president is implementing, starting tomorrow, 25% tariffs on Mexico and 25% tariffs on Canada. He's also going to levy a 10% tariff on China. So all of this is over the fact that these countries will not do anything to stop the flow of fentanyl into the United States. So until they do, they're going to have to pay a price here. And Trump is delivering on a warning that he issued out on the campaign trail. Also, and I thought Ducey, we heard Ducey ask this question from Fox earlier. If Trump is telling us air traffic control towers are staffed with unqualified controllers, then it's not safe to fly commercially, is it? And I'm curious to hear from you on that. Do you believe it is safe to fly in America? And my concern is not just what happened on Wednesday night. My concern are all the near misses. Folks, those near misses are going to turn into the real thing very soon. Now, I want to revisit something that we talked about late yesterday in the show, and our phones just exploded. We were talking with our good friends at WDUN, Caleb Hutchins, the news director. And it was shocking to learn that nearly a third of Gainesville, Georgia, Hall County, Georgia, nearly a third of that county is now made up of Hispanics. It's shocking. Hispanics only make up 10% of the entire population of Georgia. And the question is, how many of those individuals are actually legal and how many of them are illegal? We've been hearing from a lot of you folks in Gainesville about how it's that having that large of a population moving in, how it just completely changes the culture of your town and your community. And we could only take a few calls, but I am curious to hear from you folks in Gainesville. How has the massive increase, how has that impacted your community? And I ask this because in Lackland, Ohio, the mayor there is raising concerns about migrants, illegal, they're calling them migrants, they're being relocated to his small town. He says the population has doubled in 1 year. Nobody can speak English. Half of the town can no longer speak English. And there have been an untold number of fires in overcrowded apartment complexes. I wonder how many other communities around the nation are dealing with this, and we're not even learning about it. We're not hearing about it. But Gainesville, Georgia is shocking because it's a beautiful community, beautiful people, the architecture, the town, the location, everything about Gainesville. It's one of those places where you would want to move, you would want to raise your family. It's one of those places. And we are hearing reports that crime is on the increase, that resources that would normally go to educating kids are now having, you know, teachers are having to do ESL, English as a second language. And people are really having a hard time. People are really struggling. Now, in Mississippi, we are watching now in the southern states the roundup of illegals here. And the owner of a Mexican restaurant in Mississippi was shocked because it turns out that a good many of her employees were living here illegally. Cut 14, please.
It happened at Fernando's restaurant off Colony Crossing Way in Madison. That's where 37-year-old Jose Meja Cubias of El Salvador was arrested and charged with sexual battery of a physically helpless person and tampering with evidence. 3 News Side's Chris Fields joins us now with the latest. Chris.
Well, that's right, Maggie. The owner told me tonight that she's upset and worried that her business will now be tainted after what happened. And what's even worse, she says, having someone she put in the leadership position not only be accused of violating someone sexually, but later learning that he and other workers were in the U.S. illegally. Here's what we know so far. Madison police told us they received that alarming call just after 1 a.m. Thursday. From there, investigators conducted a search warrant at the restaurant. That search warrant led to the arrest of 7 employees who were also in the country illegally. Christina Narivas, owner of Fernando's restaurant, says she later found out the suspect, who was a manager, was at the restaurant after hours when he wasn't supposed to. She also learned that after the raid that his documentation to get the job was all fake.
He presented the right documentations that he's supposed to, you know, and again, so my husband employed him, you know what I mean? So if they were fake or whatever, I mean, we don't know that, but he presented the correct documentations, and I mean, he's worked for us. You know, we had no idea he was even like this. Like, I mean, we have, you know, people that come here who, you know, came here to see him because he was the bartender or whatever, you know, but it just goes to show you never know how someone is behind closed doors.
And now, ICE has now placed a detainer on Meja Cubias as he was previously deported from the United States in 2010. Now, all those individuals arrested, including Meja Cubias, are currently being housed at the Madison County Detention Center.
All right, so there you have it. And look, I don't fault the owner of the company here. I mean, if the guy presented credentials and they look like official credentials, what are you going to do? The thing that bothers me, all of these businesses out there knowingly hiring illegals, and you know who you are, you need to bear some responsibility here. It's time to put American workers first, plain and simple. Now, I want to share this with you. A concerned parent sent our affiliate in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, KWAM, a concerned parent sent a letter that went out to parents in Memphis, Shelby County schools. And the school district plans to resist all ICE and immigration authorities. And this letter that was sent out to parents said they've got a protocol in place. So if ICE shows up, they're not going to be allowed on the premises. As a matter of fact, they're saying that no immigration enforcement agency is allowed access to any Memphis Shelby County school student or confidential student records without the legal right to do so. Here's what gets me. They go on to say that they are committed to educating all students regardless of national origin, immigration status, or citizenship status. So they're admitting that they're using your tax money to educate illegal alien children in Memphis, Tennessee. But can we get real for a moment? Over 70% of the kids in Memphis Shelby County schools cannot read at grade level. So they're not even educating the American-born kids. You think they're going to educate the illegals? I don't think so. If I was an illegal, I'd get my kid out of the Memphis Shelby County school system because they're not learning anything. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to Shane in Georgia. Hi, Shane. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I've just been dealing with people on Facebook and meeting people in public in a little town. I live close to Tallulah Falls, if you're familiar with that. In Cornelia, Georgia, there's enough Spanish people down there to make about 7 Zorro movies, and you wouldn't use the same actor twice. And these people can't understand why we're so infuriated with these illegals being here. And my comment to them is always, would you allow Filippo and Venezuela, or whatever her name may be, to break into your house, have a baby on your living room floor, and expect you to pay all their bills? And then one night, the man decides to go in and sexually assault your child and kill her. Would you be okay with that?
No, I don't think I would.
They altered their thinking.
Look, Shane, I think you're absolutely right, because that's literally what is happening in this country right now.
Yeah, and you know, Ray Charles is blind and dead, and he could see that. Yeah, it would seem like.
This is true. We just fact-checked you. That is correct.
And, you know, I don't know if there's a class. I thought when you go to get to school, you get smarter. Is there a class you can go to be dumber to become a Democrat?
Wow. Shane, are you going to be opening tonight down at the Holiday Inn and in the Blue Room? This is good content.
No, actually, I'm going to be at the Todd Starnes Studios.
I love that. All right.
My boss, man, turned me on to you about 2 years ago, and I listen to you every day. And you've got to stop taking vacations unless it's on the Saturday and the Sunday.
Shane, I've heard that, and I will do my best. Thank you for calling in. You don't be a stranger. That's funny stuff. Ben, can we confirm Ray Turnals is still in the grave? Is that, yeah, we've confirmed that, yeah. All right, let's go to Rick in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
All right. Thank you for asking.
I grew up in Gainesville, lived here all my life. My God, it's totally different today.
Is it really? So describe what are the differences that you've seen? You were born and raised there, and now what was it like then? What is it like now?
Well, you didn't see one Hispanic or Latino. You didn't have to press 2-1 for English, 2 for Spanish. I think they're going to change that to 1's going to be for Spanish, 2's going to be for English soon. When you make a phone call, if you go into the banks, it's all Hispanic. You can go into banks, it's Hispanic tellers, Hispanic employees, Hispanic people. You can't get in. The schools are all Hispanic. And, illegals, we're having to pay our tax dollars. Property tax goes to pay for school. They go up just about every year. It's because there's more and more. I've heard there was a sign at the border that said, go to Gainesville, Georgia, and you can get a job. There are buses coming, huge buses coming from, Texas, unloading every day at certain places in Gainesville.
And, Rick, let me jump in here for just a moment and explain the reason why. First of all, if you're here legally and you're Hispanic, welcome to America. God bless you. Go claim your American dream. The issue we've got are the illegals. And, Rick, I'm just telling you right now, when you look at the percentages of, 30 or 40% of your population is Hispanic, that's not normal. That is not natural immigration. That is – something is going on there. And I know for – I remember my parents lived in North Georgia. They would go and shop and they would do all their shopping in Dalton, Georgia. And that town was decimated back in the day by this forced illegal immigration. And it truly ruined the landscape of that community. And it sounds like that's what's going on there in Hall County, Georgia.
Exactly. Hall County officer got shot by a Hispanic person several years ago, died. And we just had a shooting Hispanic related right near the downtown portion of Gainesville a couple of weeks ago. In fact, if they're good workers, that doesn't make them legal. Everybody says, they're good workers. Well, that's not the point. They're here illegally. Like if you snuck into the swimming pool when you were a kid and you got caught, what'd they do? They threw you out. If you tried to sneak into the movie theater and you got caught, they'd throw you out. So this is a hell of a lot worse than that.
Well, Rick, I appreciate you calling in. And I will tell you, I was talking to a Republican leader in Fort Worth, Texas, and they say nearly half of the school system is made up of Hispanic students now. Many of them cannot even speak English. Most of them can't speak English. And they don't know what to do. So the challenge here is if, in fact, they get rid of all the illegal students, then they're going to lose federal tax money, which is why these schools don't want to do anything about it. But at the end of the day, this is all about you, the taxpayer, black, white, Hispanic, Asian American. You folks are having to foot the bill for all of these illegals that are coming across the border and now flooding into beautiful communities like Gainesville, Georgia. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Bank of America has been canceling a lot of conservative business accounts. Also, They've been targeting some of you conservatives personally. You've gotten the notifications, Bank of America. They don't want to do business with you. And that's why I want to tell you about my friends over at Old Glory Bank. Old Glory Bank is FDIC insured, co-founded by our good friend Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, and John Rich. They're serving tens of thousands of customers. As a matter of fact, after the testimony from Bank of America executives a few days ago, they got over 5,000 new customers. That's insane. So I want you to go check them out, oldglorybank.com/Stearns. That's oldglorybank.com/Stearns. You're going to be able to open up a bank account. Nobody's going to be snooping around. You're going to have privacy. You're going to have security. You're going to have liberty. And I love that. Oldglorybank.com/Stearns, and you're going to be able to put your money in the hands of people you can actually trust. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And, you know, I haven't promoted our store as much as I ought to, but I need to. And I got to tell you, we've got some great things there, some incredible book deals. And if you really want to understand what President Trump is doing, and also if you want a good laugh, you need to buy my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? It sort of lays out the plan. Here's how Trump is going to save America. And also, I share a lot of funny stories in this book, and you can get a personally signed copy at toddstearns.com. Just click on our store. Also, we have Valentine's Day coming up, and we also have a few other holidays coming up. Mother's Day will be here in the spring. We've got a great devotion book for you. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And not only do we have funny stories, I know many of you have read Daily Biscuit and you loved it. We've got recipes, funny stories, great inspirational message. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and you can get a copy there as well. You know, it's funny, we've always been referring people to Amazon to get the books, and I thought, you know what, why do that, right? We would rather do that on our page. So that's why you're going to be able to get a copy of those books. Also, we have coffee mugs, tumblers, T-shirts, ball caps, all sorts of great stuff. And I'm excited because, Dieter, we are adding some new products very soon that are going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be pretty classy.
Are you giving any teasers?
It will involve the Gulf of America.
Oh.
How's that?
Okay.
Okay.
No biscuits?
No. Well, we've already got biscuits.
I know, biscuit but I need the biscuit mix.
By the way, and we have a brand new devotion book coming out in July, mm-hmm. and it's a patriotic. I had a lot of fun writing this. Michelle Cox and I wrote this book together, and it's patriotic and it's inspirational, called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. That'll be available this summer. It's going to be a fun book. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's try to sneak in Jerry from Little Rock. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Hey, it's good to talk to you, sir. I noticed during Ms. Leavitt's first 47 White House briefing, I rarely see the White House briefings. I hear audio clips on, you know, the Starn show or the Plant show, sure, or the Carson show.
Okay.
For Newsmax Loyalty. But I saw part of the first one the other day, and I thought I noticed two video monitors on either side of her, and I don't recall seeing that with KGP.
No, those are new additions, Jerry. You are an eagle eye, sir. Those are brand new additions.
You know what I hope they're for?
What's that?
And I've never been a political strategist or a reporter. I know you have been. Did you ever work the White House beat?
I did, but what do you think they're for? We're running out of time here, Jerry.
What if they used those monitors to show the full bloodbath clip or the full good people on both sides clip, and then said to every reporter in this room and all the organizations you represent, the next time you print the lie or speak the lie,
put it up there. I love it. It's a great idea, Jerry. We're running out of time here. I'll talk more about those monitors coming up after the break. We'll be right back, folks.
Live Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Friday to you, America, wherever you might be, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. A lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Senator Katie Britt from Alabama. Also, we're going to be talking to a district attorney from the great state of Mississippi. And do you know how to spell Mississippi, Ben Dieter?
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Wait, wow. Did you miss one? I don't think
that's
right.
Too many S's.
Yes. E-G-L-E-S.
M-I-D-E-I.
M-I, crooked letter I, humpback I.
Is that really what it is?
It is, crooked letter I.
Yeah. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-S. Oh, no. Yeah, there was three S's.
No, there's no, two S's, not three S's. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yes, the district attorney from Mississippi. He is implementing a bounty program. So if you turn in an illegal alien, you're going to get $1,000. So I guess whoever turned in the seven illegals working down at the Mexican joint in Madison, Mississippi, going to get, what, $7,000?
Yeah.
What a great idea.
That's exactly how it works. It's like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I love that idea. By the way, did you see, was it Carl Higbee on Newsmax was eating tacos to what, mock the illegals? Or maybe he was just hungry and wanted a snack on air. I don't know.
Maybe it was just poor timing. I mean, I love tacos. Who doesn't love a taco? Taco Bell yesterday.
It is Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. That means you call in. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Ben, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm going to play some audio, and I want you to tell me your thoughts on this. So Trump, you know, he takes all questions. It doesn't matter where he's at. He will take a question. And so somebody asked if he planned on visiting the crash site down at Reagan National Airport. And here's what President Trump had to say, cut 10.
Do you have a plan to go visit the site or meet with any of the...
I have a plan to visit, not the site, because what did you tell me? What's the site? The water?
Or to meet with the first responders down there?
I don't have a plan to do that, but I will be meeting with some people that were very badly hurt with their family member, obviously. But I'll be meeting with some of the families, yeah.
So he said, what do you want me to go swimming? What?
I mean, it's a fair question. I don't think he understood how to respond to that. Obviously, I think the president, per the press secretary's presser that she just had, has been more present for these families than they would have gotten in the last 4 years. But I don't know if they wanted theatrics. They hold a big press conference with the president, the vice president there at DCA. I just don't think he was taking the bait of the reporter. I have no idea what that was.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
People thought it was very insensitive, though.
I didn't take it like that. But it's, you know, they're always trying to trap the president, mm-hmm. is what they're trying to do. By the way, here's a TikToker, and she's very upset with all you white people that are going to visit Mexico. Mm-hmm. And just as an honor, people ask me, I got a message. I should have mentioned this in our
your hate mail.
Mailbag. Yeah. Why do you always mispronounce Mexico and Guatemala? And I'm really not. I'm trying to honor the language, and I think the X and the G are silent.
Is that what you learned in Spanish class?
That's what I learned in Spanish. And I was a member of the Spanish club.
Go back to Rosetta Stone.
Broadmoor Junior High School.
You were?
Mm-hmm. I had a little red T-shirt.
Wow, Mr. Starnes.
Espanol Club. That's what we call it, Espanol Club.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned at school that the X and the G are silent. So Mexico and Guatemala.
Is that true?
It's like guacamole.
Oh.
That's the delicious, right? You eat your chips with that. By the way, do you know, someone told me this, you know, do you like the you like tortillas, right? That's what you eat your tacos with, right?
Yeah,
the tortilla soft shell. So if you fry them up, you get
chips,
right? Chips. So if you can only get like four chips out of a tortilla, How many chips would you say you eat at a setting?
Oh, boy. If they're bottomless...
You're eating 300 tortillas is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Tortillas.
That's the best part about going to Mexican restaurants over American ones is they aren't stingy at a Mexican restaurant. Have you seen the fajitas? Have you seen the beans and rice?
I think you mispronounced that as fajitas. No. It's on Family Guy, it's fajitas.
Did you also learn that in Spanish class, Todd?
Sí, señor.
All right.
Me, please, señor.
So, are you going to... So, the question is, because we have a lot of people that go to Cancun. A lot of people that go to Cancun. My parents just went to Mexico. It's a big place. They take the carnivore.
The carnivore cruise. They eat humans.
What is wrong with me?
Carnival cruise.
To Mexico. Yeah. Cancun. And so, now they're saying that all of the Mexicans... are going to boycott the Americans when you go down and go on this cruise because of Trump.
So when I was down on Cancun, I went on the K-Love cruise. And may I just say something about K-Love real quick? I've done two Christian cruises, and they were both very different. One of them was the In Touch cruise with Dr. Charles Stanley, and they literally padlocked the casino on the, I kid you not, and there was no booze allowed.
No bottomless mimosas.
No.
Then what do you do on a cruise?
They literally padlocked. It was the most boring cruise. No
offense.
Were
you allowed to wear your swimsuit, Todd?
You went to Bible study every day on the cruise ship. And I'm thinking, I could do that back home and not get seasick.
Yeah.
However, they had... And the problem was the all-you-can-eat buffet, because those people were not very Christ-like around the buffet. You know, they're weeping and raising their hands during worship, and, you know, like they're deep, deep and devout. But if there's only one fried chicken left, chicken leg left on the buffet, it's
they'll
like,
beat you up.
It was like the gates of hell. Wow. I'd never seen anything like it.
So what was the entertainment? Just sermons and K-Love concerts?
And church music. Okay. No, so K-Love, on the other hand, so I was prepared.
And what were you doing?
I was the keynote speaker, baby.
Oh.
I told him, I said, K-Love invited me. I said, you guys know I don't sing. They're like, no, we want you to speak. And I'm like, you know what? You know, wow. They're not political, but I'm telling you, I packed out the lounge. My act was a hit.
Mm.
And I think it concerned the K-Love executives because that was the last time I got invited. But people loved it.
Skip Amy and Starnes.
They did not like me. They're
really?
Yeah, they're closet lips. I shouldn't have said that, but it's true.
Wow.
They would like write nasty messages to me on X.
Let me jump in here. I don't know about Skip and Amy, but I have been with Todd when Todd has done K-Love fan award events. And the artist that you listen to in the morning, because you're not allowed to listen to in the afternoon because you have to listen to Todd Starnes, they love you. You would not think that. You look at some of these artists, and they have the man buns. The guys have longer hair than my mom. They love you. I don't know if it's secret, but I saw you on the red carpet. Everybody wanted to go to the Todd Starnes booth.
It was fun. And they're all closet conservatives, right? They're just afraid to say anything because all the executives are libs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really kind of funny. But, I don't want to – no, Skip and Amy, they would, like, write stuff about me on X back in the day. And I'm like, what the heck, Skip and Amy? Come on. What did I do to you? You know what it was? I think that may have been jealous because I'm telling you, it shocked a lot of people. And, you know, my first – I was very kind. I was gonna make a joke about, you know, could somebody explain why Chris Tomlin is the only music people play here? What's going on with that? Because, you know, everybody says that.
Yeah.
I think he's got pictures.
See, I had to quit listening to Skip and Amy only because every time
not Skip and Amy, but.
Yeah. The only reason I had to move on past the Air One, I don't know, and K-Love, is because every time I tune in to listen to Lecrae or Chris Tomlin or Kane, they're always doing phone-a-thons. And I never hear the music. They're always like, if you call in and give us $500, not only will you get to go to Disney on a cruise, but your mama's going to get saved. And as much as I love to hear that, I'd rather just listen to the dang music. Does that make me a bad person?
I get it.
Phone-a-thons.
So I go on the K-Love cruise thinking it was going to be like, you know.
A party.
A party. and it was rock and roll city. The casinos were open, the booze was flowing, and people were in the spirit and in the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen anything like it. Had the best time of my life. It was so much fun, but we went down to Cancun, and I did the, you know how you disembark and you go shopping, and found an American-owned taco joint. And they were pro Trump. The whole slogan was "Making tacos great again."
Wow,
it was great. It was a lot of fun.
But to your story, you can't go anymore.
Oh, you can't do that anymore. Thank you. So, bringing this back around, a TikToker has some advice for all you folks going down to Mexico. Cut number 11.
All I gotta say is, if you're American, very pale American, I hope you don't have plans for spring break in Mexico, because there's a lot of people that are mad right now. And among other things, you wouldn't want them spitting in your food or your drink at those all-inclusives in Cancun.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so I guess that's how they are retaliating against the Americans for sending their Mexicans back.
Wow. So instead of saucy verde, somebody could be like, you know, that could be a
saliva verde.
Booger. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, so the
sorry, I meant snot.
Yeah, that's, so when you're getting your frozen margs, and there's just be careful when you're drinking your frozen marg, because that might not be salt. That could be an eye booger.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Just saying.
May I ask you a question about the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee? Mm-hmm. So his name is Paul Young, and he is like a Barack Obama wannabe. Is that a good description of him?
Yeah. Abraham Kennedy, those type of people.
So he gave the State of the City address last night. I watched this, and it was as bad as anything I have ever seen. It was so bad. And he finally got around to
tell him what the title of the address was.
What was the title of the address?
We are in our yes era.
Oh, we are in our yes. I forgot about
that. We are in the era of yes. Yeah. That was the title.
Yeah, because yes, we can had already been taken. So anyway, and I guess somebody went down to Hobby Lobby and bought the big giant YES letters.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
those
yeah,
are like in the
yeah.
front of them. Anyway, here's the mayor explaining why Memphis is the greatest city in America. Cut number 9.
Memphis is not anywhere USA. We have a whole different feel. We have a whole different authenticity. Our city has soul. Diversity is our superpower. We're the country's largest majority black city. Diversity for us is natural. You can't take it away. It's who we are. I firmly believe that we're America's coolest city. And that's a point of pride for me. We welcome people from all backgrounds in our community and in our city. The people at FUBU saw it. The teams at 100 North Main see it. Sterick Building, XAI, Aon, all of the students that choose the University of Memphis, Rhodes, Lemoyne.
I don't think he does welcome everybody, because it's pretty clear to me his definition of diversity is black. Mm-hmm. He's talking about diversity as our superpower. He's saying black people are our superpower, that the black people make Memphis cool. He never mentioned, he always goes out of his way to mention black people in all of his speeches, but he never mentions the Hispanics. He never mentions the Asian Americans that live here, or the white folk
that live here. That's never going to happen.
No, white people. We're not, you know.
Do you want to tell them how they spelled Memphis on the PowerPoint?
Yeah, so Memphis is spelled, I'm going to pronounce it phonetically, Memphis. Memphis.
Memphis.
Memphis. M-E-M-F-I-S. They left out an M.
They left out the M.
Memphis.
Memphis. Memphis.
M-E-M, and they left out. They had a
it's
huge
the state of the State of the City address, and they misspelled the name of our city.
The state of our city is illiterate. That's what they misspelled it.
And did you hear, he's like, you know, everybody comes to Memphis because it's cool. We got the culture and we got the soul and the swagger, and they're going to the University of Memphis and Lemoyne. He fails to point out that there was just a mass shooting right around the corner there.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he opened up his remarks with that. And I'm like, wow, way to really rally the troops here by mentioning the mass shooting we just had, Mr. Mayor. I mean, geez, hello. So anyway, there you have it. You've got the mayor of a major American city saying diversity is their superpower, but only embracing the black people of Memphis. I guess we're here to mow people's lawns or something. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I kind of feel left out of the mayor's address.
I'll reach out and have him include you next time.
Well,
you can speak on behalf of the 40%.
Say, you know, all you whitey out there. Something. I don't know. It's just, you know, just give us a shout out.
We do pay taxes, don't we?
All you crackers who pay taxes. See, that even rhymes sort of, right?
Not really.
Okay, it doesn't. All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So don't check your retirement plans today. Folks, again, the stock market's getting a little squirrely. That's because of the news. President Trump is officially slapping tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. But again, it's also a great reminder that you need to be you need to be taking steps to protect your retirement funds, right? We talk about this a lot here on this program, is making sure that your retirement plan is diversified. And one of the ways you can do that is with gold, right? Because, again, if all of your retirement plan is in the stock market, then when the stock market goes down, well, you're going to have big problems, which is why we're big fans of Priority Gold, and they've got some great, great things for you. I want you to check out our good friends at Priority Gold, and they're going to make sure that your retirement is protected. How do they do that? Well, because they want to diversify and fortify your savings, and they can do that with Priority Gold. The website, by the way, PriorityGold.com, that's PriorityGold.com, and check out, learn how you can diversify your savings. Our friends over at Priority Gold, by the way, they're going to send you a free gold investor's guide so you can educate yourself. They don't want you to jump into anything, so they want to make sure that you are actually doing your homework as well. So go check them out at PriorityGold.com. All right, folks, coming up, we're going to be talking to a district attorney. His name is Matthew Barton. He is from DeSoto County, Mississippi, and he is proposing a $1,000 per catch bounty hunter program to round up illegal aliens. I'm also curious to hear your thoughts on that as well. Do you think that's a good idea? Is that a creative way to capture the illegals? So give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls. Matthew Barton, also Senator Katie Britt. We're going to play some of the interview we had with her on Newsmax as well. We'll be right back, America. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us on this great Friday edition of the show. There is an interesting story coming out of the state of Mississippi, and this proposal has actually been described as Crime Stoppers on steroids. This is going to be, I'm excited about our next guest. He is the district attorney in DeSoto County, Mississippi, which is right below Memphis, Tennessee. And the district attorney there, Matthew Barton, is backing a new law to pay bounty hunters $1,000 reward to help round up illegals. Mr. District Attorney, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about this. So how does it work? How would a person get the $1,000 reward?
So essentially, if someone called into a tip line that would be established for this program and provided information that was later vetted and corroborated by law enforcement as actionable, then that person would be deported and the tipster would receive a $1,000 reward.
Do you guys have a big problem with illegals in Mississippi?
Oh, I think we do. And no, I'm district attorney, so I deal strictly with prosecuting felony crimes. And in my jail, we've had over 1,000 illegal immigrants come through the jail in the last 4 years, which is more than double the 4 years before that. We're talking about small town Mississippi here. So at any given point, we may have, you know, 8 to 15 illegal immigrants in our jail. We spent over $100,000 housing them in our local detention facility. Our state auditor did a report that concluded that we had over 22,000 illegals living in Mississippi, costing Mississippi conservatively at least $100 million every single year.
That's insane. $100 million. And this is money that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Mr. District Attorney, but that's money that could be used to hire more police officers, more teachers. It could be used to help the actual law-abiding legal citizens of the Magnolia State.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So how do you, how does all of this work? And I'm wondering why you are supporting this. Basically, they're calling it a bounty hunter program.
Yeah. So, I mean, to answer in reverse order, I'm supporting it because I see a problem on my desk every day where we have hardened violent criminals, causing havoc in our towns. And, you know, we had this problem. And so I started talking to some of our lawmakers, and a local House rep, Justin Keene, took this on and drafted a bill. And essentially the way it works is Department of Public Safety would have to set up a program where they could receive tips. Licensed bail agents and peace officers would be able to apply to participate as bounty hunters. And once authorization came from ICE or law enforcement that someone should be detained, anyone who is licensed to be in this program could then participate in the apprehension of the subject.
So I'm curious here, Mr. District Attorney, what's been the response from the media?
It's a mixed bag. Some people love it. Some people see the title and it's all their worst fears coming to imagine. They imagine all their worst fears coming true. And so it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but I think once you get past the titles and some of the misconceptions about it, the concept's pretty tame. It's pretty simple. If you're not here legally, they're going to be working to deport you anyway. So the only question to me is the state and local level going to help?
So here's what I think is going to happen. I know they don't pay these Memphis reporters any money. They're all broke. So here's what you mark this down, Mr. District Attorney. What's going to happen is they're going to go out, they're going to interview a bunch of these illegals, and as soon as they turn the cameras off, one of those reporters is going to call you, turning them in and wanting the cash. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, welcome to the team.
Now, are you getting any word of possible lawsuits? I have to imagine somebody's going to be filing some legal action here.
I expect the left and the ACLU or the similar organizations to always have something to complain about, but I don't see any legal hurdles or obstacles for doing this, because we're not proposing that, you know, someone who was an electrician yesterday wakes up today and decides they're going to go hunting for illegals and say, hey, you up against the wall, I'm bringing you in. It will be much more structured than that. People will be treated the same way as an illegal immigrant as they would if we were investigating a robbery or a homicide. It's the same process. We're just talking about illegal immigrants.
No, look, I think this is a very clever thing. And again, it's not like you're going to have posses going out there riding around on horseback. This is just simply like a Crime Stoppers, where if you know of a crime, you're calling in, and we're actually seeing that happen already in cities across the country, especially in some of the big urban centers where you've got folks that are calling in and saying, hey, there are a bunch of illegals hanging out on this street corner. So I think it's a terrific idea, and I love how you framed it, Crime Stoppers on steroids.
Yeah, it's the most simple way to put it.
All right. Well, Mr. District Attorney Matthew Barton, we certainly appreciate you coming on our national show today, and we wish you the very best. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, there you have it, folks. Wow, what do you think about that? Rounded up the illegals. They got a $1,000 reward. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, just a little while ago, last night actually, Senator Katie Britt from Alabama was a guest on my Newsmax show. Let's listen to some of that interview. Now is Alabama Senator Katie Britt, one of the people asking questions of Kash Patel on that Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator, good to have you on Newsmax tonight.
Hey, Todd, thank you so much for having me. And yes, what a privilege it was to ask those questions today. And wasn't Kash Patel fantastic?
You know, I was really impressed. They were throwing some hard questions at Kash, but he gave as good as they did. At the end of the day, Senator, why is it that Kash Patel is the best pick to lead the FBI?
First off, he understands that the FBI has to regain the trust of the American people. He said he's going to do two things right off the bat. He's going to let the law enforcement officers do what they do best, be law enforcement officers, you know, let police be police, as he said. And he's also going to restore transparency to the organization. Look, we've gone out for 4 years of President Biden, unfortunately, weaponizing the Department of Justice and the FBI. You think about the FBI going after parents who spoke up at school board meetings to say they had questions and they wanted what was best for their children. You have an era where people were targeted simply because of their faith. We saw today Josh Hawley hold up memos showing that the FBI was actually going after those individuals. Look, enough is enough. He has said we're going to go back, we're going to put the Constitution first, and we're going to make sure that the American people are safe and secure. And at the end of the day, that goes to promises made, promises kept from President Trump, because on the campaign trail, he said we will make America safe again. If you listen to Kash Patel today, he talked about the number of rapes, the number of murders. He talked just about what is going on in our cities coast to coast, and that he's going to get back to making sure the American people puts the FBI puts the American people first.
I think that's a brilliant idea, and I'm afraid over the past couple of years we've seen the FBI turn into some form of a state police. You mentioned the going after the parents, and we've got some video and audio of that. Let's watch this.
Please.
Parents who have the courage to ensure their children are taught what they feel is right, and those who have the courage of their convictions to go houses of worship, in my book, will never be domestic terrorists.
Senator, the idea that we had FBI agents trying to infiltrate Catholic churches, throwing pro-life grandmas in jail, that just cannot be allowed to happen on American soil again. What say you?
Absolutely. We cannot allow that to happen. And that is why we must have Kash Patel at the FBI. Look, he said gone are the days of weaponization and politicizing the FBI. And we are going to go back to safety and security. This weaponization that you've seen happen, you just played the clip. He said enough's enough. We are not going to let that stand. The American people deserve to trust the entities that serve them. He's pointed out today that only 41% of Americans have faith in the FBI. He believes in the men and women there. He said he stands courageously. He stands with our courageous law enforcement officers, and he wants them to get back to keeping our streets safe, not going after a MAGA grandma that wants to make sure that she's practicing her faith or that her grandkids are being taught the things that they should be. So it's a new day in America. Kash Patel is going to lead us back to transparency and lead us back into faith in the institutions that serve us.
Senator, the wordsmith of the Senate, our friend John Kennedy from Louisiana, I want to play some audio. He had something to say about all these conspiracy theories. Let's take a listen to this.
My colleague and friend Senator Durbin called you a conspiracy theorist. You remember that?
I do, Senator.
You were instrumental in revealing that the Trump-Russia election collusion hoax was a hoax, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I was a lead investigator.
Sounds to me like we need to get some new conspiracy theories, because all the old ones turned out to be true.
Well, it's a great point he raises, Senator. I have one final question for you. Why are you going to support Kash Patel to head up the FBI?
Yeah, for the exact reason we just said, and I'd like to say real quick, though, John Kennedy then went on to say, I think they're 37-0, and the conspiracy theories have proved to be true.
Yeah, it's true.
So that was certainly quite the exchange between the two of them. But listen, Cash has our law enforcement officers back, and he has the back of the American people. He understands we have to preserve and respect our Constitution and get these entities back to working. Look, America is sick of things being weaponized and being politicized against them. We're over it. I mean, those days are gone. We have to have people who don't believe in business as usual, but understand that we've got to get back to the business of making these institutions work for the people that they serve. That's exactly what he's going to do. He reiterated that time and time and time again, that he has the back of our law enforcement officers, that he understands the needs of this nation. And look, this is we're at a pivotal time in our country's history. Now is our time to take our nation back and to preserve it for the next generation. I have all the faith in the world that Cash will do that. And if you look back at the hearing, I read through all the different things he said on that hearing that made me proud to support Cash Patel as our next FBI director. And I'm excited he's going to get some bureaucrats out of D.C. He's going to make sure he gets those men and women out across the field. We're going to drive down crime, and we're going to actually serve the American people. So it's an exciting day here in D.C., and I look forward for wholehearted support of Cash Patel.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. So there's a movement afoot. This is going to trigger so many people. This is beautiful. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna has announced a proposed piece of legislation that would put President Trump's face on Mount Rushmore. And I actually love this idea. And there's actually a place up there to put him.
This isn't a joke?
No, it is not a joke.
I thought it was a parody.
No.
Where are we putting him?
Probably next to Thomas Jefferson, I believe. There's
more rock space, it looks like, on Lincoln's side.
It's a big mountain.
Yeah. We could put him in the back.
Oh, you know what that is, Lincoln? My apologies. Yeah, it's you got George Washington, Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Teddy Roosevelt's always the odd man out there, right? It's like, really? Roosevelt? All right.
Who got selected? Do we know how those lucky four ended up on the mountain?
I'm sure there is history. I'm sure David Barton has figured that out. Did you ever watch Little House on the Prairie?
No.
As a child?
But I feel like I lived it. I grew up in Pennsylvania. But yeah, sure.
You were basically one butter churn away from being Amish, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I had electricity, but that's about it.
So, Netflix has announced they are going to reimagine the Little House on the Prairie.
Did they use the word reimagine?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Fans apparently are in an absolute panic over the reboot. So, you know, there's got to be a lesbian or a non-binary person in the mix. There's going to be some freaky stuff going on down on the farm. And the reboot says part hopeful family drama, part epic survival tale. They're going to be eating the child. One of the children will be dinner. Mm-hmm. That's it. They're cannibals.
What is it? Laura Engel?
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah. I bet she's going to be blue-haired.
A lot of the stories, by the way, a lot of the storybooks have been banned from school libraries because of the way they portray, you know, the white settlers going up against the Indians.
Mm.
Anyway, they say that it's going to be a reimagining of the treasured novels. The family will be black or Asian.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. Or they could be Indian and they could reverse roles.
Megyn Kelly says, if you wokeify Little House on the Prairie, I will make it my singular mission to absolutely ruin your project.
You know they're totally going to wokeify it. And Netflix is, as bad as Disney is, as bad as Hollywood, Netflix is 14 times worse.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. So someone says, I look forward to the episode where Doc Maker begins transing all the kids. And Mary teaches us that blind people can't see gender. One of the kids is blind in the TV show. That's a fair point. Quote, this was my first reaction to how will Netflix turn Little House on the Prairie into an inclusive circus?
What, I mean, it's bound to happen. So there's multiple? Are they doing a series?
It's going to be a series. Oh, yeah, it'll be a series. It's not going to be good. Maybe there will be a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, it's all going to be
an affair.
This is terrible.
Someone definitely is changing genders.
Charles is gay.
It's going That's down the in the hayfields.
Woo, mercy. Anyway, the new producer, Tripp Friendly, who was the son of Ed Friendly, who was the executive producer of the original Little House on the Prairie series.
That's a nice tie.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see how all that goes, but certainly not good. It's causing a lot of angst. Every time, you know, I could only imagine what the Brady Bunch remake would look like. Right? Back in the day, you had to declare, did you like Jan or Marcia? That was like a big thing among grade school boys. So, and then all the girls were in love with, and the gay guys were in love with Greg, the older child. Which, by the way, the father on the Brady Bunch actually was a gay guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that came out later on. And then there was Alice, you know. But Alice ended up getting married to Sam the Butcher. So that caused a lot of eyebrows to raise back in the day. Anyway, I'm sorry. What a weird way to end the show.
Apologize.
It was such a great week. We love you, Alice. All right, folks. It's been a lot of fun. Weird fun, but fun nevertheless. Head over to the website. Download the podcast. We're going to see you back here Monday if the FCC doesn't throw us off the air. Get out there. Be good, America. Be sure to go to church this weekend.